This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. The number of people fleeing Honduras due to gang violence and political instability is on the rise. Between October and April, 96,000 people, or 20% of those detained at the U.S. southern border, were from Honduras. But women are especially vulnerable in the country. And in fact, Honduras is one of the most dangerous countries in the world for women. Gracie Murphy is determined to help.
We work to rescue women and children, victims of vulnerable groups from violence in Honduras.
Gracie is the president of the Heart of Christ Justice Project in Honduras and author of a new book, Journey to Justice. In 2005, Gracie moved to Honduras with her husband for mission work. She decided to stay, and for years she's been working with authorities to help women and children escape violent circumstances. Now she runs an independent refuge center in the country, providing resources to women and children in need. And it's in that work that she's faced risks to her own life. I spoke with Gracie about her work and note that there are details in this interview that some listeners may find disturbing. First, I asked Gracie if she's seen a shift in violence against women since she first arrived in 2005.
Violence has gotten much worse. When we arrived, a woman was murdered in Honduras every 2 days or every 3 days. It was about 185 cases a year. Over the last 14 years, more than 6,000 women have been murdered. And some years it's been in the 600s and 700s.
What is driving this abuse and violence?
It's the machismo attitude in Honduras that a woman is a man's property and it's until death do you part. He could go off and have other girlfriends, or he could leave her and go be with another woman or throw her away, but she still always remains his. And then with the increase of drug trafficking and the increase of gang violence, drug traffickers and members of gangs act, it's like machismo on steroids. It's totally insane and out of control.
And so machismo is sexism, essentially, mm-hmm. right? And no, it's not to say that every Honduran man is a machista either, right?
No.
I mean, there are pockets of progressive thought, I'm imagining, yes?
Yes, there are. It's mostly with the gang violence and with the drug violence that's going on that you see the extreme cases. But the belief, even in the churches, there are pastors who tell women they must endure the violence of their husband or they will be breaking up the family.
Is there a story that really stands out to you of a woman that you've helped?
Yes, there's a story that I include in my book. Her name was Gloria, and she told me to tell her story to the world. Her sister had come into our office in the police station and told us that Gloria had suffered 18 years of abuse at the hands of her husband and that their 16-year-old daughter, he had raped her also. She was in hiding, and they needed help. We got a team of investigators and police officers, and the sister took us to where she was. It was a small little adobe shack with a tin roof on the side of a hill, and she was completely shut in. We went in to speak with her. She wouldn't let us in at first. She was terrified. She was terrified if she let us in, she would die. But when we got in there and began talking to her, she told us she had gone to the police many times, and they didn't help her, and that her husband liked to torture her by cutting the muscles in her legs. And he had carved his name in her back twice with a machete so no other man would have him. And she turned around and lifted her shirt and showed us his name in her back. She could barely walk. She was on crutches. And finally, we were able to convince her that this was before we had our refuge. And we didn't know of any refuges in Honduras at that time. We got a missionary friend to keep her while we did the investigation. He was actually my first death threat when he was arrested. He threatened to murder me from the jail cell. He said, when I get out, you're going to die, gringa. And he did go to court, and he did go to prison. When she was free, I remember the last time I saw her, she said, freedom never smelled so good. And I never knew there was a smell to freedom. But I guess for her, there was. And gets emotional with this story, remembering holding her in my arms as she cried, and she wouldn't come out. Yeah, that was just one of the most amazing stories.
You mentioned a refuge. Mm-hmm. What does the refuge look like? What is it today?
We have rooms in our facilities where we house women and children at any time of the day or night. The police, the investigators, the prosecutors will show up with or without warning. Sometimes they just show up and beep. They'll bring us women, they'll bring us children, they'll bring us women with children who are in the moment of violence, and we'll care for them and pray with them, provide the things that they need. We'll walk them through the legal process, go with them to the forensic evaluation, go with them to court, and try to help them find a better life after court is over.
You are seeing our southern border policy right now playing out, particularly with migrants from Central America. What do you tell the women, if anything at all, that you work with? Do you advise them not to come because of what you're seeing on the ground here? What do you tell them about what's happening?
We're trying to make it better for them to stay there and not have to come here. That's our ultimate goal. I don't want them on those roads. I know what happens to them on those roads, and it's dangerous. And I'm afraid that our government's not helping them when they should be helping them. And I understand it's overwhelming right now, and it's a big job. It's a huge job. This is a very complicated situation. And the government, there's some people in the Honduran government who want to do good, and they're my heroes. My book is dedicated to them and others who fight for justice around the world. But then there are some that are not, who are corrupt, and it's a difficult situation. So we win where we can win, and we try to make it better where we can, and we try to teach the Hondurans to stand up and take their cities back and to take their neighborhoods back and to make it so that they can stay. Why should anyone have to flee their home? Why should anyone have to flee their home? To leave your home for a choice is one thing, but to be forced to flee and leave your family and worry every day that your family may die because you left, because they go after the families. If a gang is members related to the case, they'll go after the families.
Lots of things to think about. Gracie Murphree is president of the HOC Justice Project and the author of a new book, Journey to Justice. Gracie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.